Welcome to the Still Worthy Podcast, the safe and empowering haven for people like you and me, single, child-free women looking to embrace our unique path, celebrate our freedom and independence, and live our best, happiest, most fearless, fulfilling, and kick-ass life. I'm your host and sister friend, Sanja Lioness Mackey, here to guide you on this incredible journey that redefines womanhood and acknowledges your worth, irrespective of your marital and family status. Let's get this party started. Hello, hello, and welcome to Still Worthy. This is our weekly time to chat and talk about the things that matter to us as single, child-free women. Now, before I get into today's topic, I just want to say thank you so much for helping me to reach 1,000 plus downloads of this podcast. When I think of people who have millions of downloads, I think, oh my God, I still have so far to go. But I am out of the gate, girl, and I am on my way. You can't reach 1 million downloads until you first reach 1,000 downloads. And you can't reach 1,000 downloads if you never get out of the gate, if you never start. So if there's an idea, an initiative, or a project that you are sitting on that you keep waiting to launch, I'm here to tell you to get started, to get out of the gate. You don't have to be great to start, but you do have to start to be great. So thank you to the women in Houston and Dallas, Texas, Brooklyn, New York, Jacksonville, Florida, and my hometown of Lake Charles, Louisiana, for being some of my biggest listeners. The podcast is listened to in over 26 countries. I am global, baby. So thank you to women in the United Kingdom, Canada, Taiwan, and Thailand for being some of my biggest listeners. Now, for those of you who have been following the personal story around boundaries with my family that I shared in the last two episodes, I know you probably want an update on that. It's like Days of Our Lives or As the World Turns, right? I know I'm dating myself here, but those were the soap operas that used to be very popular on TV when I was growing up. But my soaps were The Young and the Restless and The Bold and the Beautiful. Girl, I practically grew up with Victor Newman. He was like a second father to me, but I digress. Anyhow, that family member is still not speaking to me. And my mother, of all people, has picked up on something that person said and started using it herself, that I've quote unquote changed. In fact, Mom said it just earlier this week in regard to my saying I was going to stop performing a particular task. Now, it's not a difficult or time-consuming task by any means, but it's a task that everyone benefits from, but no one acts like they can do it except me. Furthermore, everyone, quote unquote, conveniently forgets when I remind them that other people are capable of performing this task besides me. So I was like, Mom, please. Look, just insert the eye roll here, because you will never get me with the words you've changed, meaning make me feel guilty such that I backtrack and change my position or behavior. Know why? Because I absolutely believe in change. I don't want to be the same person that I was 10 years ago, 5 years ago, or even 1 year ago. People are supposed to change. I hope I change, grow, and evolve until the day I die. And I am absolutely going to be pro-change if it involves setting boundaries that protect my peace, energy, health, and well-being. In fact, when people say to me, you've changed, my response back to them is, yes, I have. Why haven't you? Why are you still the same person with no growth or evolution? Oh no, girl, you are not ever going to get me on that one. Okay. So yes, they have teamed up against me to keep me continuing to do some of the things I had been doing, the things that just aren't working for me anymore. And doing that is really only making me dig my heels in deeper as I go into this new year with new boundaries. Like, you would think they know me better than that by now to know that that tactic is not going to work with me. But hey, what's the saying? F around and find out, right? That's what they're doing. They're effing around, but they're finding out. I am not playing when it comes to my peace, my energy, my health, and my well-being. Not anymore. As single, child-free women, if we don't guard and protect ourselves, who will? Who will? You know, self-care has gotten so much focus over the past several years, especially with the pandemic and all. But there's a quote I love that really puts self-care in a different light, at least for me. It's by Parker Palmer, and it says, "Self-care is never a selfish act. It is simply good stewardship of the only gift I have, the gift I was put on earth to offer others." Anytime we can listen to true self and give the care it requires, we do it not only for ourselves, but for the many others whose lives we touch. The changes I'm implementing, putting boundaries in place and taking measures to guard my well-being, I'm not just doing it for me, I'm doing it for you. By prioritizing my self-care, I'm exercising good stewardship of my divine gifts, the gifts I was given to use in service to you. So what I'm doing is an act of self-care, but it's rooted in the fact that not only can't I serve myself and live my best life if I don't do this, but I can't fulfill my divine assignment to serve you and help you live your best life if I don't stay the course, even in the face of guilt-tripping opposition from my family. And it's the same for you, girl. You cannot fulfill your divine assignment and serve your heart and soul people if you don't guard and protect the assets God gave to you in the fulfillment of your purpose-driven work. It makes you think about self-care just a little bit differently, doesn't it? All right, let's jump into today's topic. Give yourself permission to live your dream life. Now, what do I mean by that exactly? You may have certain goals and dreams, but those goals and dreams look different from the goals and dreams of other people, people you grew up with, people you know. And so you're reluctant to pursue those goals and dreams because it will take you down the road less traveled. And you think certain thoughts that act as barriers or obstacles to proceeding down that path, like you didn't go to a quote unquote good school, or you don't have the proper knowledge or experience in this topic, field, or industry. You don't have a good role model or mentor who has done what you want to do or who can show you the way. You don't know how or where to get started. So you come up with all these reasons why you can't pursue your goals and dreams. And I get that fear is involved, fear of uncertainty, fear of the unknown, fear of making a mistake, fear of failure, fear of success, fear that you can't duplicate your success, fear of what other people might say or think. I mean, the list goes on and on. And so you count yourself out of the race and you leave the starting line and you go back home without even waiting for the bell to go off for the race to start, without even trying, without even waiting to see what might have happened, what could have been. And I'm here to tell you that you don't always have the prior knowledge or experience. You don't always have the role model or mentor. You don't always know how or where to start. All you have sometimes is a dream, a goal. All you have is a passion, a burning desire to become something or accomplish something. And you know what? That's more than enough to get started, girl. That's more than enough to get you off the starting line, out of the gate, and into the race. So let me tell you about my biggest passion. Besides serving you as a part of my purpose-driven work, I absolutely adore traveling. Like if someone were to ask, who was your first love? I'd say it wasn't a who, it was a what. Traveling the globe and having grand adventures around the world. But I didn't come from travel. For example, I didn't grow up in a military household where we relocated to different states and countries, which would have exposed me to travel. When we traveled growing up, it was typically to visit relatives. I had an aunt and uncle who lived in California while we lived in Louisiana, and that was the furthest I traveled growing up in my family. I didn't even get a passport until I was in my 20s. Today, I visited all 50 states, all 7 continents, and almost 90 different countries. I've had all sorts of adventures around the world. I've done things like bungee jumping in China, skydiving in Dubai, riding in a hot air balloon in Turkey, doing a polar plunge and sleeping on the ice in Antarctica, sleeping alone in a treehouse while on safari in Africa, about a mile from the nearest person if something went down, sleeping in a hotel made entirely of salt in Bolivia, wrestling a 10-foot alligator in the water in Colorado, and much more. Sidebar here, girl, I get tagged on all the wild, crazy, and unusual travel activities because my friends know I am down for almost anything. Now, I didn't have a role model or someone I knew who had traveled a lot, someone who lived an exciting, adventurous life. I mean, I just had a few uncles in the military growing up who traveled a bit, but that didn't help me because I wasn't planning on joining the military to travel. I didn't have the knowledge or experience, and I didn't have a role model or mentor to learn from when it came to travel. Nobody I knew, even outside of my own family, traveled extensively. All I had was a burning desire to see the world and have grand adventures and experiences across the globe. But that right there was enough to spark action in me. I got on the internet and took the initiative to look things up and find things out for myself. And if I came across someone on social media who had been somewhere I wanted to go or done something I wanted to do, I took the initiative to message them and ask questions. Most people are flattered and willing to help if you come to them asking how they accomplished something. And if they were like, hey, my fee is X dollars to talk for 30 minutes or an hour, you know what? I was willing to do that too. That's how badly I wanted to travel. That's how much I wanted to see the world. I was willing to do whatever it took. And what happened is that instead of me being able to look at someone else in my family who had done it before me, a role model, if you will, I became the role model in my family. I became the person who inspired young nieces and nephews to think beyond just the state they grew up in or the country they grew up in. I was the one who opened their eyes to the glorious world that was right there at their fingertips, right there for the having and taking, if they wanted it bad enough. I didn't have a go-to person, but in the quest to pursue my dreams, I became the go-to person for the generation that came after me. Something I wasn't looking for and that I didn't even expect when I started, but it was a nice perk just the same. But the biggest thing I had to do was ignore the naysayers. I had to be willing to take the road less traveled. And I had to be willing to give my own self permission to live the life of my dreams, even if that life didn't look like anyone else that I knew. My own mother was one of my biggest detractors. She was always like, I can't wait until you get this travel bug out of your system and settle down and stay in one place. She did not understand why someone would want to travel to another country and experience another culture. And it wasn't something that I could explain to her. Like, if you don't understand why someone would want to travel the world and meet people of other countries and explore and immerse themselves in other cultures, it's not something that I could explain to you. Now, if she was going on a trip like a cruise to Cancun or Cozumel, Mexico, that was okay. But to travel to destinations like Egypt and Japan and Morocco and Sri Lanka, girl, she just didn't get it. So do you know what it's like when you, as a young girl, as an eldest daughter, as a single child-free woman, you want to do something and your own mother is your biggest naysayer? Like, isn't a mother supposed to be a daughter's number one fan and supporter? And yet her opposition didn't deter me one iota. Girl, the whole while she was trying to talk me out of it, I was on the laptop pressing the book button on yet another trip. This woman carried me for 9 months and went through hours of labor to give birth to me. And still, I could not let her talk me out of the life I wanted to live, the life I knew I was destined to live. Because you only get one life, just one. This isn't a dress rehearsal where you get to practice and find out what works and what doesn't work so you can do it better the next time. No, there is no next time. This is it. This is your life. You have this one shot, this one chance, this one opportunity to make all your dreams come true. So whatever it is that you want to see and do, whatever it is that you want to become or accomplish, you only have this one lifetime to do it in. And if you let the naysayers stop you, it won't be them with regret at the end of their life's journey. It will be you. In one of the earlier episodes, I mentioned a book called The Top 5 Regrets of the Dying. And let me just preface this by saying, I'm not trying to be morbid here, but I'm being realistic and I'm trying to wake you up so that you realize what's at stake here. The book was written by Bronnie Ware, a nurse who worked with people in palliative care, basically hospice care. And she conducted a survey that became a best-selling book written in multiple languages all around the world. So she asked these people who were in the last stage of their life, people who were dying, what was the biggest regret of their life? Now, the second biggest regret was, I wish I hadn't worked so hard. The third biggest regret was, I wish I'd had the courage to express my feelings. The fourth biggest regret was, I wish I had stayed in touch with my friends. Do you know what the number one and number five biggest regrets were? Number five was, I wish I had let myself be happier. And number one was, I wish I'd had the courage to live a life that was true to myself, not the life others expected of me. Let me say that again. I wish I had let myself be happier. And I wish I'd had the courage to live a life that was true to myself, not the life others expected of me. Girl, this is essentially what I've been talking about this whole time. This is why I became a divine purpose and life coach for women. So that this isn't you. So that you aren't the one looking back on your life with regret because you're realizing that you missed your entire life. That you lived it for other people and not yourself. That you didn't give yourself permission to be happy. That you wouldn't let yourself be happy. This is what's at stake, girl. Your life. Your very life. Now, if it was up to my mother, I would not be able to say to you today that my dream of seeing the world has taken me to all 50 states, all 7 continents, and almost 90 different countries. If I had listened to her, if I had let her negative comments stop me, I would be on the path to becoming one of the same people Bronnie surveyed for her book. I would be on the path to having regrets about living the life other people wanted me to live instead of the life I wanted to live for myself. And this topic actually goes hand in hand with what I've been talking about in the last 2 episodes. Being a caregiver in your family, being the go-to support person in your family, being the one who handles everything at the expense of your own life, your own health, your own resources, your own well-being. It's got you on this same path, leading to regret. And I'm not saying don't do anything to help your family. We love our families. If you've been raised quote unquote decent like I have, then we want to help our loved ones. But you have to do it in a way that doesn't deplete you, a way that isn't detrimental to you, a way that doesn't have you on a path to regret, where you wake up one day and look back on the years and realize that your whole life was lived to please other people, but never yourself. Okay, you know, I always try to leave you with a simple mindset shift or action item that embodies the spirit of the episode. We're at a good time of the year for this question I want to ask you, because many of you are probably already looking back on 2023 in terms of what went well and what didn't go so well, and looking ahead to 2024 in terms of the things you'll do differently to accomplish your goals. And I want to ask you this question. Is there an area of your life where you want to be happy, where you could be happy? And all you really need to do to be happy is give yourself permission. In other words, let yourself be happy. Now, maybe there are some things you need to do first, like tune out the naysayers, the negative Nellies, put some boundaries in place, get out of your comfort zone, brush off your fears, get the information or help you need to get started. But basically, the starting point is you simply letting yourself be happy. It's you saying yes to your own self. And maybe that entails saying yes to saying no. For example, as you set boundaries with family and friends. Only you know for sure what saying yes to yourself really means. But that's the message I want to leave you with today. And I'm not going to leave you hanging. I'm going to give you an example of this, a resource. Shonda Rhimes, the famous producer and screenwriter behind shows like Grey's Anatomy, Scandal, and How to Get Away with Murder, wrote a book called The Year of Yes. And it was a year that she started with the question, What could my life look like if I said yes, instead of instinctively saying no to all the things that I'm scared of or uncomfortable with? What if you started 2024 the same way? What if you made 2024 a year of yes, a year of you, a year of giving yourself permission and simply letting yourself be happy? Oftentimes, we make things so much harder and complex than they really are, than they really need to be. And I'm a big fan of writing and journaling because when we take things out of our head and put them down on paper, things become more clear. Our priorities become more clear. The way forward can become more clear. Even God said it in scripture, write the vision, make it plain on tablets so he may run who reads it. Habakkuk 2:2. I take that to mean when you write it down, you can actually understand it and then take action on it. So I'm going to leave you with that question. But as you ponder it, I want you to remember the things I've said here today. Listen to this episode again if you need to. That's how important today's message is. You are a beautiful, amazing, and phenomenal woman. You're also single and child-free. That means you are unencumbered by some of the very things that keep many women from going out there and chasing their goals. Now, you may get married someday. You may even have children someday. You know, you may change your mind about being child-free. But right now, while it's just you, you have the time, the energy, the resources to pursue your dreams, to make the most of this one and only life that you get. Don't waste it, girl. Don't waste your one shot. Until next time. Thank you so much for tuning into the Still Worthy podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss a single episode. Share it with family and friends who would enjoy and benefit from these insightful and increasingly relevant conversations. Follow us on social media to connect with an amazing community of single, child-free women. And visit stillworthywomen.com to work with me, travel with me and other single, child-free women, and stay abreast of projects I'll be launching soon, just for you. I hope today's topic encouraged you to view your lifestyle with a fresh, exciting, and empowering new perspective. And I can't wait to have you join me for the next episode. Until then, remember that your life choices are valid, your journey is beautiful, and your worth is immeasurable.